The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome once again to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you this week?
Been a heck of a week.
Hasn't it? It always is, though, isn't it, with you and I?
It is.
Okay, let's get started. The first story that I have for Veteran Affairs. It's regarding Staff Sergeant Royal. He was in the service, in the Army, actually, for 10 years. And he was outside a bar one night, just a couple blocks away, and an argument escalated outside of the establishment. And an unidentified man shot a homeless man that he had been fighting with. The victim ran down the street and he collapsed. And Royal saw what was going on and ran to the homeless man's aid. And as it turns out, the bullet had struck his femoral artery, and as you know, it's the big artery in the thigh that, you know, when it's ruptured, it can cause the victims to bleed out and down. So Royal used a belt as a tourniquet, stopped the man's bleeding. The man was transported to a nearby hospital and was in stable condition and survived. And Royal attributed his knowledge to his medical training at Fort Carson in Colorado. And his only words were, "I was just glad I was there." And I just thought that was a really touching story.
That really is. You know, when it comes to vets, I mean, hell, they know everything that they need to survive. And that includes helping out people like that in emergency situations. Even those that haven't been trained as medics, for instance, have at least some modicum of medical knowledge to do emergency things like that.
And that's the one thing that's amazing about our veterans. And, you know, they're just so, they just don't get the appreciation that they need, because they come back into civvy life and look at the miracles that they're able to perform and the lives that they're able to save. We don't appreciate them enough and give them enough credit. And at least our government does, but that's another story.
Absolutely, yeah.
So jumping right into Think Outside the Reality Box. So my suggestion for this week, I was actually talking to a friend, and she's been a longtime friend. And, you know, we all have those friends that there's like one or two qualities about them that totally irks us, you know. And as much as we love them, we're like, oh, no, she's doing it again. She's repeating the same catchphrase over and over, which that's something that I do when I'm tired and in pain, as you know. You've had to go over that a couple times with me on the episodes where I'll say like the same phrase over and over and over because I'm in a tremendous amount of pain at the time. Or
I have those bad habits as well. Yep.
We all do, don't we?
Yep, indeed.
So I'm talking to this one girlfriend earlier in the week, and she was doing her thing that bothered me. And I thought about it. And, you know, typically when we find something that disturbs us in others, a quality that we don't like about other people, if we take a closer look at it upon examination, we usually find, if we're honest with ourselves, that it's a quality within ourselves, rather, that we don't like or that we don't appreciate, something that we wish we could change. And as I started to re-examine the conversation and replay it in my head, I discovered that it was exactly that. It was her repetition of the same thing over and over. And it was driving me absolutely batty at the time. And then when I stopped afterward to kind of replay the conversation in my head, as I said, I'm like, holy crap, that's something that I do when I'm in pain and I'm tired. So if we concentrate on those things sometimes when they irritate us and really are honest with ourselves and look within, a lot of times the qualities that really irk us in others are qualities that we have about ourselves and maybe we can work on changing as well.
Absolutely.
That's my think outside the raggedy box.
I agree 100%. Actually, I think that with people, I tend to look at people as being reflections of ourselves. So in other words, if you see something irritating in somebody else, it's because it's irritating in yourself and you're fighting against your own better nature, I guess you could say. So, you know, people, other people, I look at them as being just mirror reflections of ourselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're so intertwined, you know, as a human species. And so it makes it interesting though, when you put that spin on it, you know, and you stop and take a step back and kind of look at the situation and say, oh my gosh, you know, it's just, it's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? But you've got to be honest with yourself too. You can't just be like, oh my God, that person pisses me off and they do this and they do that. Stop and think, you know, just be open for a minute and think about it. Is it something that you're doing? You know, the same habits that you have, maybe to a lesser degree, maybe in a little varying circumstances, you know, like instead of maybe repeating a catchphrase or a word, maybe they're repeating, you know, gosh, I don't know, a thought processes over and over. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. You know, it's the old psychological
the same thought process over and over.
Right,
know?
Right. Exactly. It's that old psychological phrase, you know, me thinks thou doth protest too much. You know, it's because you're doing it yourself.
There you go. The next thing I want to jump into is the to-do list for you. And this one, some people may not appreciate it, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Buy new underwear. I want everybody to go out there and buy even just one pair of new underwear for yourself this week. And I'll tell you what put me on this kick. I was on Facebook earlier this week, and there was a guy on there talking about how he was going out on a date with a new girl. And he'd been seeing her, I guess, for a little bit. And I guess they were getting to that stage where they were, you know, starting to get intimate or whatever. And he made an announcement on Facebook how he had to go out and buy new underwear. And I think to myself, you know what? A lot of us are parents. A lot of us are, you know, single parents. A lot of us are unemployed with the state of our nation right now. And it's not very often that we really treat ourselves to something nice. And, you know, underwear is important.
It really is. When I saw this on your list, all I could think of was that you've reminded me of my grandma. You always need to put on clean underwear. Do you have clean underwear
exactly.
on?
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. And that's going to lead me into things my mom says in just a minute and things my grandma says. But the thing that brought it to mind for me especially is I can remember one time my dad was upstairs and okay, Italians, you know, we live together. You know that we like kind of conglomerate together.
Oh, yeah.
We all buy houses next to each other or on the same block. And at that particular part in my life, there were three apartments separated. So you had to go outside and get to each apartment, you know, to get up. But my pop and mom were on the downstairs. I was on the middle. And then my dad was on the upstairs floor. And I was cooking something at the stove. And I remember it caught on fire. Whatever it was caught on fire. And I didn't have a fire extinguisher in the house at the time. My dad was a fireman, so that was like a huge sin to not have a working fire extinguisher in my
house. Bad apartment. Maggie.
Right? I know. So here I am. And so basically what I did was I ran to my front door, opened up his door next to mine that went up the stairs to his apartment, and I just yelled, fire! Shut the door, went back to what I was doing. Well, I knew it would be like an instant panic. All of a sudden, you're down the stairs, right? He comes bursting in the door, fire extinguisher in hand, in his underwear, no shirt. And I'm like, seriously, Dad? That's just, you can't unsee that. You know what I'm saying?
What has been seen cannot be unseen.
But
yes.
I remember thinking there were blue underwear and like the waistband was all stretched out. I'm like, ew, you know, you need to buy some new drawers, Dad, you know? So that's my to-do list for you for this week. Buy new drawers. And that brings me into...
But Maggie, I love my holy underwear. Come on.
No. It's not cool. It's not cool. Nobody wants to see them. You're walking around the house with your kids. You know, nobody wants to see your holy drawers, Ira, with your butt cheeks hanging out. It's just not cool. Which brings me into Mamma Mia. And that was one thing that was drilled into my head as a child. Always wear clean underwear. You never know if you're going to get into an accident. And like, she needed to teach me, you know, hygiene. I was a clean kid. It's not like I, you know, didn't take baths for days or whatever, but for whatever reason, grandma especially, put on the clean underwear before you go anywhere, you know, get an accident, you know, you don't ever have the clean underwear. And I'm like, really? And you know, I was a small child and you know, I was a small, I'm still kind of small, you know, as you know, I haven't really grown very much. I'm still midget status, but my mom used to buy my clothes for me up until I was almost 14 years of age. And I got my own, I had to have my own job because I wanted to buy my own clothes because I was small. She was very out of style. Italian women, you know, they love the gold, they love the jewelry, they love the little snap-on house coats with the buttons, but they're not always up to date, you know, modern time. They like the flowery, the colors, the oranges, you know, the real bright, tacky sometimes colors. Dude, she wanted to put me in Garanimals until I was like 14 years old because they fit.
Oh, geez.
But here's the deal. We had like the orange shirt with like yellow pants, nothing matched. It was like, looked like Mickey Mouse threw up type of thing. You know?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
Crazy.
Looks like a pastel exploded all over you, right?
There you go. So Mamma Mia, when you play the music, that's my story for Mamma Mia is, you know, wear clean underwear. That was always the motto.
It always made me laugh, you know, whenever they would say, if you get into an accident, you got to have clean underwear. It's like, isn't that what an accident is? Come on.
Yeah, basically.
it's like Bill Cosby. First you say it, then you do it, you know.
Depends on what kind of person you are, I guess. I typically don't personally have that problem, but I can see where you would.
We won't go there. We won't go there.
Mix a little pumpkin in your food. No, just kidding.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. And I haven't even been drinking. This is scary. Okay. Jumping into holistically healthy this week, the vital veggies that I chose this week was mushrooms. Mushrooms. Who does not love mushrooms, right? A lot of people. But I do. So I chose it for the vegetable for this week. Among other things, mushrooms relieve high cholesterol levels. They help prevent breast cancer, prostate cancer, diabetes. They help in weight loss, increases the strength of your immune system. And also for vegetarians, they contain fiber and protein, which is an awesome source of nutrients. If you're a vegetarian, you don't eat meat. Now, mushrooms are so versatile. I love them on pizza. You know, I love to make mushroom gravy. You can stir fry them with some olive oil and garlic and make them. They're an awesome side dish. I love them stuffed. And there are several different types. Shiitake, animal studies have actually shown that they are anti-tumor, cholesterol lowering, and have antiviral properties. There's enoki that also anti-cancer and immune enhancing effects. Mataki, I think is how you say that. Come on, Webby, what do you got for me? How do I pronounce it?
Yeah, mataki.
Okay, I got it right. Ooh,
you did.
Star. Okay. Also known as the hen of the woods, they also have anti-cancer, antiviral, and immune enhancing properties, and can reduce blood pressure and also blood sugar. And then you have the oysters, which are a little cheaper, a little less flavorful than shiitakes, but they also provide some protection against cancer. So those are just some of your common types of mushrooms. There's also button mushrooms. But the cool thing about mushrooms is they have their own immune system. They're more closely related in DNA to humans than to plants. Like human skin, they can actually produce vitamin D by being exposed to sunlight. So if you take a fresh cut shiitake mushroom, gills up, and put it in the sun for 8 hours, it can increase its vitamin D content by as much as 4,600 times. How cool is that?
That is really cool. Now, as far as mushrooms goes, don't go out into the woods and pick mushrooms.
You know?
My favorite kind of mushrooms tend to be really dry. They kind of make you feel a little fuzzy.
Yep, there are all different kinds of shrooms. And so if you don't eat them, some people like to enjoy the hallucinogenic effects, depending on what type they are. We actually had a lady outside of one of the offices that I worked at. And she came one year, and I look out the window, and I see her picking mushrooms off the lawn and putting them in a bag. She did not come back the following season. Okay, dude. So make sure when you're picking mushrooms, I have a lot of friends that harvest them and then go out hunting, but they know what they're looking for specifically.
That's the point.
Be careful. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, don't just pick something off the ground and eat it when you don't know.
And don't just go get a book and hope that you got it right. You know, actually find somebody that's experienced with mushrooms in your local area, because depending on the area that you're in, too, that can make a big difference as well.
Absolutely. Regionally, it changes too. So be really careful. But the recipe that I chose this week was spinach stuffed mushrooms. And it's really easy to make. It's 1 pound of baby Bella mushrooms cleaned up with a damp cloth. I peel the skins off of mine and cut the, you know, the very ends off because they get dry. That's what I do just because I like it better that way. I peel the skins and I cut the ends off. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 package of frozen spinach, thawed and drained, 2 cloves of minced garlic, and either 6 ounces of feta, or you can use ricotta cheese too, which, of course, you know, I kind of mix the both in, but I'm a ricotta fan, as you know, the Italian me. Salt and pepper to taste. And then if you want to add a little bit of an oomph to it, if you're a meat eater, you can add sliced up, cut up prosciutto, cooked sausage, bacon, whatever you'd like. So basically all you do is you preheat the oven to 350 degrees, thaw out your spinach, remove the stems from the mushrooms, chop them up finely, put them all cut side down in a baking dish, warm up 2 tablespoons of the olive oil in a skillet over medium-high heat, put the mushroom stems in the garlic, cook it until soft, takes about 8 to 10 minutes. And then the last few minutes while you're cooking that stuff down, add the thawed spinach and cook it all until heated through, just stirring it once in a while. Make sure that you mix everything up good. Remove the mixture from heat. Allow it to cool just a little bit. It shouldn't be steaming hot. And mix in your cheese. Toss it well. And then just stuff each mushroom cap with about a tablespoon of the mixture. If you have any leftover, go back in and cram it down. You would be surprised how much meat or filling a mushroom actually will hold. And then bake it for about 20 to 25 minutes until they're dark and soft. And you're done. And it is amazing. Trust me. I love that recipe.
It sounds pretty good. I'm not usually into spinach mixes, but I think we might give that one a shot.
Oh, try it. You will definitely love it. And then, like I said, you can add the meat as well. A lot of people just, Italians do sausage stuffed, but when you throw that spinach in there, it gives it a little bit of a different flavor. It's really cool. You'll like it. Trust me.
That's cool. Well, yeah, we'll probably give that one a shot, I think.
Do you want to go into Comedy Corner?
Why, we can do that.
My picks for this week, pretty cool, huh?
Yes, I love it. I love it, especially this first one. The second one I was dying laughing with, but this first one definitely killed me. So here you guys go, a little bit of Comedy Corner for y'all.
I get a lot of material. I read the Bible a lot, and I was reading. Yeah, you know, somebody got to back me up on this. So you're gonna think I made it up for the sake of the joke. How many people know Jesus had a little brother? Right. Anybody know his name? What's his name? James. I was reading that. I was like, wow. How much pressure was that? Jesus, your big brother? How many times did he have to hear, why come you can't be more like Jesus, James? Because you know, everybody probably thought that James could do the same thing Jesus could do. But he couldn't. He was just James. He wasn't James Christ. Remember the wedding banquet? Right? Jesus turned water into wine. Right? It was delicious. Everybody was amazed by it. Right? But this is a little side note. What you might not know is what they used, right? Where they got the water from was these things called water pots. And the water pots, they would sit them at the door and people would dip their hands in them before they went inside. Now, they were out of wine, which means the place was full, which means the water was dirty. So he took some dirty water, made it clean and acceptable, and it was the best at the banquet, which is exactly what he does for us. But I'm thinking about James. What about the next banquet? Jesus probably wasn't there, right? They started running out of wine. I bet everybody looked at James. Hey, man, your brother was here last time we ran out of wine, huh? You just gonna stand there with your sandals on? You're not gonna make no wine? You just... And you know how little brothers are. I'm sure everywhere Jesus went, James followed him. That's what little brothers do. If Jesus went there, so did James. I bet one time, James almost drowned.
My buddy, being ex-military, he's ready for the end of the world, this guy. He's got a lot of weapons at the house. Got a compound bow and arrow. Now, if you don't know anything about a compound bow, the arrow travels at about 300 yards per second. You can take out a giraffe, no problem. He's got this thing in the house. I go, John, what the hell you got this in the house for? He's like, you kidding me? It's for home invasion. Home invasion. Could you imagine the poor bastard that breaks into my buddy's house? As a burglar, you can't even prepare for something like that. The burglar thinks nobody's home. He comes through a kitchen window. My buddy hears him. He gets out his bow and arrow. The burglar's in the living room. He suspects nothing. He's stealing valuables. Then, out of nowhere, do you know the mind fuck on this? The burglar has to process. I got an arrow hanging out of my chest right now. Did I break into an Apache's home? Are there Indians here? Is this a casino?
Sebastian's great. I love that guy.
Isn't that great? I know you loved him last time, and I wanted to throw him in there. He has very few short skits, though, that I'm able to use. But I love him. He's just the best. And what'd you think of that other guy? That was a new pick.
Yeah, that was, what was his name? Michael...
He goes by Michael
Jr.
Yeah,
Michael Jr.
He was pretty cool. I thought he was cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love that bit. I've thought before, you know, what would it be like to be James Christ? You know, it's like, you can't live up to that. You just can't live up to that.
Nope. It's definitely, you're starting off on a losing streak. I mean, there's no way. How can you compare, right? I mean, there's no way. So then we'll go into memorable. You got to watch this movies. And this one, I don't know if you've seen this one. It's been out for a while. But it fools you because it's got a message. And if you really watch the movie, initially it comes across as a comedy. But there's so much more to it. There really is. There are so many underlying messages in it. And the main one is every moment is a moment to be lived. That's the message that's carried throughout the movie. But it's played off as a comedy. So you really, you know, you might not catch it at first, but I picked Click this week by Adam Sandler. Have you ever seen it?
It's like one of the only Adam Sandler movies that I have not actually seen.
Unfortunately. For real?
Yeah.
How? Oh, man, you've got to see it. You've see it. I mean, Adam is like one of my favorites anyway.
Mine too,
you know,
yeah.
Saturday Night Live days. He's just amazing. But you've got to watch it. The premise behind it is it's about a man who receives a magical remote controller, like for his television, that allows him to flash back, stop, fast forward through time. So he uses it to skip past moments in life that he finds boring, you know, like a family dinner or, you know, whatever, you know, when he's sick. And at first it comes across as really cool. He's having a ball with it. But then after a while, he finds out that it comes with unexpected consequences. And you really have to watch the movie to get it. But it's very, very cool. It's funny. It's promoted, of course, as an Adam Sandler comedy. But like I said, under the surface, it makes you think, you know, halfway through, you kind of get that there's a deeper meaning in the story. And it does get you to think about life's little moments and how every moment is no less than important or no less important matter than another. So I thought it was really cool. It was a cool pick. And
well, considering that's my own personal belief system, I would say that would definitely be a movie up my alley. It's just I don't know why. I've never actually sat down and watched it. It's weird.
Wow, you got to check it out. And if you haven't watched it in a while, please watch it again. It's very cool. Then speaking of cool, way cool affirmations in scripture. My affirmation this week that I chose, just because I had a rough week and I know that you did too, is I easily find solutions to challenges and roadblocks and move past them quickly. So if you say this affirmation, put it on a little sticky note or on an index card, post it around your home or office or on the refrigerator and say it throughout the day. The idea behind it is, you know, again, saying something positively affects your mindset and so you'll believe it and so it will happen for you. And hopefully this one will help you to get through some rough times and for things to go a little bit smoother for you, or if you're having a rough time, for it to transcend more quickly into a more positive result. And I picked actually the English Standard Version this week for the scripture, and it's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it's, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that was my scripture for this week.
I like that one, definitely. For me, the idea is, again, that every moment counts. And when you're, I guess you could look at it as, you could live in either love or hate, love or fear, you know, that kind of thing. And every moment you can only feel that one particular type of thing. And I prefer to do love whenever I possibly can. So I try not to be anxious. I try not to worry about things. I try to just let things, you know, be the reed in the water, whoo, let it wash over you kind of deal, you know? And so something like with that scripture, that's sort of, I think what's being said there is exactly that kind of idea. You know, don't let it bother you, because in the end, what did it really matter? Right.
Exactly. And it's like that book that came out, you know, several years ago that was so popular. Don't sweat the small stuff. Remember that one?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. I guess the way that I look at things is, you know, why worry? Because if you're worrying, it's sort of a waste of energy. If you're worrying about something, then do something about it. And if you can't do anything about it, well, then why worry about it? Because it's not going to do you any good anyways, right?
Absolutely. There you go. Good philosophy. I love you, Ira. Hey, let's jump into a Maggie's Moments, can we? And this one's going to be kind of, it's not a story of someone that I helped actually this time. It's kind of an opinion type based soliloquy, let's call
Maggie
it.
Maggie has an opinion.
I want your opinions on it real quickly. How much time we got left?
Plenty. We've got about 30 minutes.
Nice. Okay. So we can expound on this a little bit, do the music, and then save like 15 minutes for meditation.
Sounds good.
Okay. This week, I wanted to talk to you about, I don't request a lot of people on Facebook, and my Facebook is private. It's only about maybe a quarter of my clients. And as you know, from doing past interviews on LNM network and your network and other networks, you develop trolls. You know, you have people that chase you and will go on your wall and try and either defame you, or, you know, if they don't like your thought processes, they'll try and make you out to be something that you're not. Or
their biggest weapon is trying to dishearten you so that you don't do it anymore.
That's it, you know, so that we don't get the word out to share to the people of whatever message it is we're trying to share. And as a healer and as a helper, you know, I come under attack quite often for some of my points of views. Politically, I keep a lot of that stuff off of Facebook. I don't believe that Facebook is really the route for political and religious views. That's just me. So I tread, you know, kind of around the outskirts of it, but I don't get too personal. However, in my interviews with you guys, I get much more in depth a lot of times. And, but at any rate, I was on Facebook, and I don't know why I did this. Honestly, there was a person that shared a post, and the person that she'd shared from was not a friend of mine, but I really liked the post that the person had shared. So I requested the girl, and, I got back, which I do this too. I'll message the person and say, you know, because of the trolls that are out there, how do I know you? How did you get my information? You know, why would you like to be my friend type of thing? And so I didn't have a problem with that. I responded, well, you know, I'm a psychic medium, and I saw a post that was shared to a mutual friend's wall. And I thought that we had a lot in common politically and personally. And I thought it would be really cool to have you as a friend. And, she came back with, well, I'm Christian and I read the Bible, and my Bible says, do not listen to psychic mediums, and God talks to me directly. So my response to her was, well, I'm very happy to hear that, because I don't announce it, but I am ordained, and all of my messages come from the light. They come from above. I don't use tools typically. I don't use tarot cards or pendulums as a general rule. I used to use pendulums and things like that, but I don't anymore. And, you know, if you get messages directly from God, I'm wonderful. I'm very happy for you. I'm very ecstatic to hear that. And if you do, then, you know, maybe if you asked him what kind of a person I was and he, you know, you had the correct discernment, he'd tell you I'm not a bad person. And also, you know, if you read the Bible, you'll find out that these are fruits of the Spirit and that the Bible speaks of prophecy. And the Bible speaks of healing and that ordinary people have the gifts and are able to use the gifts. In fact, Jesus said himself, you can be more powerful than I. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, but
these things you shall do and more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she came back with no thank you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Have a great evening. You know, nice talking with you. But so I know you can go on for hours about this, but judgmentally speaking, you know, just because I'm a psychic medium and just because I have gifts, again, I've said it a million times, you don't know where my gifts are coming from. You don't know where I'm driven from. You don't know what my sources are. So, you know, the whole Christian thing, you know, it kind of bothered me, you know, and I know that you have a lot to say on that. So I'll let you talk for a minute and let's get your viewpoints on it.
Well, you know, what it really comes down to is that you have to have a spirit of discernment. There are some cases where when somebody that is a medium or a clairvoyant or anything along those lines, they could be using some kind of bad spiritual beings to accomplish it. It depends on the message.
Or divinatory tools, depending on what divinatory Correct. Tools are used from in the nature. Like, you know how I feel about Ouija boards, but...
Correct. Exactly. There are some tools that you might want to avoid, and there are some tools that are okay, but even those okay tools can be used in the wrong hands, too. So, but it's all about the discernment. You know, there are cases where you can say that, yes, that person probably was not having a divine influence upon them when they were speaking. And that can include in the Christian realm. That can include in the, you know, other religions realm. But the Bible states plainly that there are going to be gifts that are given to each person that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And those that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, at least according to the Christian theology, is those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. So if you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit will imbue you with certain spiritual gifts. It even gives a big list of these spiritual gifts that you'll have, which include the spirit of prophecy, for instance, the gift of prophecy, which includes revealing false or not false, but hidden information that was not revealed before. And if you are a person who brings out of somebody those little secret things that are in them so that they can then face them and deal with them and move on in their lives and be helped through it, that's using a divine gift for its purpose. You just use the gift of prophesying to speak what's on this person's heart. You see?
Exactly. And you know, the thing that kind of bothers me is I do have the gift of discernment. As you know, you can attest to my accuracy and you know, the things that I do for people and the way that I conduct myself and the manner in which I do a reading and why the reasons behind the general nature behind why I do readings at all is to help people. That's, you know, that's just what it is. It's not about making money. It's not about getting rich. I've been offered many, many opportunities that I've turned down monetarily just because they weren't in tune with my spiritual beliefs.
Correct.
Or, you know, they weren't what I felt was the right path to take in order for me to help people.
And you see, that's one of the things as far as this whole argument of things is concerned is that, and I've had this same argument used against me, you know, okay, you're helping people out or you've got these gifts or whatever you want to call them. Well, you're using demonic forces to do this or there's evil intent behind it and so on and so forth. And my thought is this, okay, if I'm using my gifts to help somebody out and to heal them from injuries or heal them from these traumas of their past, which generally tends to be how my gifts run, through that process, they're healed. They can move on with their lives. They can accomplish bigger, better things because they're not being held back in that past moment, you know, still dealing with that trauma. So literally I'm healing them from the trauma, almost like a healing hands kind of a thing, but it's more psychological hands, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but, exactly. We've talked about this before. It's still a form of healing.
It's still a form of healing,
right? Spiritual or an emotional healing as opposed to a physical.
Correct. Now, and, what demon is going to be using that? That's my question. A demonic spirit has no intent of healing. It has no intent of goodwill in any way. They have no altruistic intentions in any way, shape, or form. So if I heal somebody through those traumas, you know, help them get past those traumas, help them heal from it, then how is that demonic? How is that demon getting an advantage there? Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And, you know, in my head the entire time, because, you know, I get intuition through the written word sometimes as well, I'm hearing over in my head, false prophet, false prophet, false prophet, false prophet. That was what she was throwing on me.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know something? A lot of readers in my field are highly accurate, but they're not coming from the light. So they can give you accurate readings, but spiritually they're not coming from a place of helping the human being. They're coming from, I'm going to give this person an accurate reading, so they're going to be a repeat client. So they're going to come back and spend more money on me over and over and over. That's the essence of greed. And it's different where we come from. Yes, I do charge for certain services. But I mean, I just went Tuesday night to a home. I traveled, and I don't usually travel, okay, for, you know, just a couple of people, just because I'm so busy, I don't have the time. But it was a personal friend. She asked me to help out two friends of hers. I was there. I traveled 40 minutes each way, was there 3.5 hours. And I can't, what I got for it was like peanuts, really. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Comparatively speaking,
it's like gas money, basically.
Yeah. To a lot of people out there that are, you know, getting $100 and $200 an hour. Not to say that that's wrong. I understand that it's a business. I understand we're in this. A lot of us, it's how we make our income and we need to survive. I'm not downing that at all. Please don't misunderstand me.
No, and
I'm
biblically,
not judging anybody either.
And biblically speaking, there's placement for that as well, because, you know, Christ himself said that when he sent out his disciples to go teach in the other cities, he said that you will be taken care of in those cities. If you're doing the right thing, then you will have it returned. It'll come back to you. You'll be taken care of. You know, even
Absolutely.
Told them flat out, go there. Don't even wear your cloaks. Just go there. And if you're doing the right thing, then you're going to be taken care of.
Let me tell you, personally speaking, I mean, I'm on a budget just like everybody else. I work 60 to 80 hours a week. Okay. And, you know, my situation, I came back from Tennessee with 3 little puppies. They weren't in the best of situations. I hadn't intended on getting 3, but, they were covered in feces. They were covered with fleas. They were in this tiny little cage. They were riddled with worms. It wasn't the most ideal situation for these animals to be in. And so I did what I thought I needed to do. Bottom line. I mean, that's my judgment call. It's my business. You know, it's nobody's business what I do or how I do what I do. But one is for me. I lost, as you know, my Rusty 15 plus years a couple months ago. One is for a family member, and then the other one I brought home to get into shape, hoping to be able to get it to a good home where it would be cared for and loved. Well, here we are 1.5 months later, and I haven't found a good family for her yet. So if I end up staying, you know, if Lily stays, she stays. It's going to be okay. Did I want 3 more dogs? Absolutely not. I'm not going to end up with 3 because someone's taking the other one, a family member, as I said, but I have 2 other rescues. So, you know, budget wise this week, they were whining. I knew they needed to go to the doctor, and it ended up being $130. Well, the night before I went to the vet, I prayed on it. You know, I'll be honest with you. And I'm like, please, you know, help me find a solution to this. These guys need to be cared for. They need a loving home. I provided them a solid, stable, loving environment. It's definitely a stretch on me. You know, I really didn't want to bring home 3 of them, but I did what I did. You can hear them playing in the background. You know, help me out. So, you know what I did? Honestly, I went down to the local jewelry store. I had some costume jewelry I don't wear anymore. Threw it on the counter and said, here, dude, give me an offer. I got exactly enough to pay for their vet care. They had earaches. 2 of them had earaches, which I didn't know when I adopted them. you know, and I've been bathing them very regularly. So I may have done some inadvertently done some damage to them that way, but I don't think so. I think because of the way that they were, they came with the ear infections, but
yeah, more than
they were
likely.
Starting. Yeah. They were whining a little bit at night. They're very loving. They want to be held a lot. And, I knew something was wrong, and this was my appointment for the vet. So I took them, and I had gotten just enough to cover their vet bill and the travel expenses, the gas back and forth, like almost to the penny.
See, and that's how it works. That's exactly how it works.
I may be eating pasta for the next month again, but you know what? They're okay.
Exactly.
I've gotten their medicine. They're happier. They're perking up already, and they're feeling better, and they're just the sweetest, most lovable creatures on the planet. I don't know what I would have done without them the past month. I'll be honest with you. They're such a source of joy for me. And you know what? And that's the other thing. Every night, when I go to bed, I say, you know, please let me help find a really good suitable home for her. And if not, make it so that I can have her and she's well cared for, because the essence there is to do what's best for the animal. I mean, I'm not going to be that crazy dog. Maybe I will be that crazy dog lady, but I'm not going to be that crazy dog lady where, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be like taking in animals, you know, left and right willy-nilly that I can't afford. You know, it's not what's best for me or for the baby, you know?
Exactly.
So that's where we're at. But yeah, so basically it ended on okay, have a good evening. And I wanted to hear your opinions on it. I kind of knew where you were with it. We've talked about things like that before. But, you know, the essence there, people, is, you know, just if you're going to read your Bible, read your Bible. Same deal. I had a story. I was very loyal followers of a radio show, and they're very Christian based. And they spent an hour and a half bashing psychics one episode. And I was actually a subscriber to them, and I quit my subscription because I'm like, you know what? You know, if you can't see things from a whole point of view and you can't take other people's opinions into consideration, and the Bible speaks of forgiveness and the Bible speaks of all these things that you're really not honoring when you're bashing somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not right.
It's hypocritical.
Exactly.
You know? And nobody's perfect. You know, we all make judgment calls. We try not to.
And if your deal in your life is not the same thing, you still have problems in your life, regardless that you could be just as bashed for. So, you know, don't look at the, what is it Christ said? You know, don't look at the splinter in your brother's eye when you can't see past the log in your own. You know,
there you go.
You've got your own problems. Take care of your own business first. Your own house matters first, right?
Yep. That's where I was going with that. How much time have we got left?
About 20 minutes.
Okay. Why don't we go into the music and we'll go right into the meditation?
Sounds good. Here you guys go. A little bit of dance and music while we go pee and enjoy, folks.
I love these guys.
Tell me. Just keep on living. How far is hell? than this place I'm living. How far is heaven? And I just got to have some faith.
There you guys go. The Lost Lonely Boys. That's the song Heaven from them, guys. I just love that bluesy rhythm guitar there.
They're awesome, aren't they?
They are. They are. And I had not heard that song in a very long time, so I'm glad that you brought that one up. I'd forgotten about that song. The guitarist Henry Garza wrote the lyrics as a prayer. When he was 18, his son died of sudden infant death syndrome, and it's about the pain that he felt and wanting to escape this world and go see his son. Really great story behind the song, as well as just a really great song itself. Love
that
song.
Isn't it awesome? When I was reading the background for it to give you something to talk about, I just chills went right through me.
Yeah.
When I found out the true meaning of that song. I mean, the video is really cool too. You know, it's definitely very Catholic in origin, the statues and the church and everything like that. But just the feeling and the expression on his face as he sings, it hits me every time. It really does. And now knowing the story behind it, it was just amazing.
Gets even more so. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 14 minutes left. You want to get into the meditation for the folks?
I do. And you know what? Happy Halloween, everybody. This will be airing the third Sunday of the month, so it'll be before Halloween season. Safe trick-or-treating to everybody out there. Watch your kitties. Protect them. And I chose this week crisp, clean air meditation, color-changing meditation. Basically, focusing on the changing of the leaves and the fall colors and the beauty that surrounds us. So if everybody could just take a minute, kick off your shoes, sit back, get in a comfortable position. Start to breathe. Breathe slowly, deeply. Let's try in through the nose and out through the mouth. As you breathe from the top of your head relaxes, your facial muscles, your chin, your neck, continuing to breathe, relax your shoulders, your upper arms, breathing, becoming more relaxed, the tension leaves your upper body, the warmth as you continue to breathe, spreads through your elbows, your lower arms, your wrists and your hands, out through your fingertips, becoming more and more relaxed as you breathe, relax, your lower abdomen, your hips, your thighs. Your knees, continuing to breathe. Your lower legs, ankles. Breathing ever slowly. Your feet, your toes. So that you're completely relaxed. As you breathe, every cell in your body is being repaired. Any bad cells are being destroyed. Breathing, relaxing. You open your eyes and find yourself in a forest. As you look up around you, sunlight filtering through the trees, you discover the beauty of fall around you. Breathing totally relaxed now, you settle into the ground, feel the coolness of the earth, breathe the crispness of the fall air. Breathing ever slowly, totally relaxed. Know that you're entirely protected and cupped in the hands of angels. You're safe here. You can relax entirely. Your eyelids are heavy. Your eyes are open. Breathing slowly. You focus on the trees above you. Breathing in that cool, crisp air. You see oranges, which remind you of pumpkins. Golds, amber hues, the beauty of which you've never seen before. Breathing ever slowly, the amber tones remind you of liquid honey. The beauty that surrounds you, the magnificence of God's gifts, the ability of the trees' leaves to turn colors and create such a beautiful spectacle of fall foliage for you, astounds you. You're entirely safe, relaxed, continuing to breathe. There are vibrant reds. They remind you of a fall fire, of a starry night, wearing a hoodie and watching the fires dance in the flame. You picture the firelight dancing and shimmering. The firelight itself carries a lot of the colors of fall. You breathe in the red. Breathe in the orange. Breathe in the yellow. Allow the energy of the colors to settle into your body and heal you. Breathing ever slowly. You're reminded of pumpkin picking as a child. Walking through a forest. Seeing the beautiful leaves that have fallen on the ground before you. Totally at peace, protected, breathing. Yellow, the color of sun, the energy of the color of the leaves, the yellow leaves, reminds you of a warm sunlit day. Breathing in the crisp, cool fall air. The air replenishes you and heals you as the warmth of the sun, the color of the yellow leaves, reminds you of the warmth of the sun beating down upon you. The sunlight filters through the trees. It's a calming, peaceful feeling. Breathing ever slowly. You look around at the trees and are amazed at the magnificence of their stature, the textures of the different types of tree trunks. The colors of the trunks, how they differ in size, variation. And again, you're amazed by the beauty that you're lucky enough to be a part of this very special fall day. Breathing slowly, totally relaxed, totally protected. Breathing in the crisp, cool air. Allowing the colors and the air and the sun to revive you, rejuvenate, replenish, heal, and relax. You can picture as a small child when you were in kindergarten, putting a leaf under a piece of paper and drawing over the leaf with a crayon, making a beautiful fall collage. You're reminded of the upcoming Thanksgiving season, the smells of the turkey, the closeness of family, trick-or-treating, the costumes, all of these beautiful, vibrant colors of fall and the fall season surround you. breathing ever slowly. Totally relaxed. You start to relax even further. And just breathe for a moment. Soaking in the beauty that surrounds you. You feel your feet become to awaken. You wiggle your toes. You feel the life in them. Move your feet. Rotate your ankles. Breathing slowly, still relaxed. You can feel the warmth, the energy float up through your calves, your knees, your thighs. Continuing to breathe up through your hips, your lower abdomen. Breathing. The energy rises into your stomach cavity, into your chest area. Again, you're revived and refreshed, filled with the coolness of the spring air, of the fall air. The beauty of the leaves around you, the colors have healed you, your cells are replenished. Breathing, you wiggle your shoulders, feel the energy float down into your upper arms, your elbows, your lower arms, your wrists, your hands, your fingertips, they feel energized and alive. Breathing in, your neck, your chin, your face, your facial muscles. You can feel the coolness of the air on your ears. Breathing again, you can feel your cuticles, your hair follicles, alive and vibrant, rejuvenated with this crisp, clean air and these wonderful fall colors energy. You're reminded again suddenly of apple dunking and apple picking, the beauty and the majesty that surrounds you, and the miracle that is fall. You're fully awake, refreshed, relaxed, and rejuvenated. Thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
I know I did.
Did I put you to sleep again, buddy?
Thank you, Maggie, for all you do. Everybody out there, you can catch the archive for this show at openeyesnetwork.com. We'll talk to you again in just a couple of weeks. Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you. Happy Halloween, everybody.